Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Learn more at nm.org/better.
Dean was talking with Bob Surratt. Lady Gaga got engaged. She's got this engagement ring. Dean was talking to Lady Gaga, and she's flashing the hand around. He said she's Italian, but you can't help but notice this giant rock on her finger. And some expert jeweler analyzed it and said that he thought that was like, what's the number now? Was it 23 carats? It was this, it looked like a Wilma Flintstone ring, you know, just this giant thing, which is worth millions of dollars. And I guess if you're marrying Lady Gaga, either y'all have it or you need to get it. We need to get to Dr. Jeffrey Copen, who joins us Tuesdays at this time, the chief medical officer at Northwestern Medicine's Lake Forest Hospital. Hi, Dr. Copen. How are you?
Hey, John. I'm good. I like the fact that you're giving marriage advice now. That's fantastic.
Wait, what was the advice that I gave? Get him a big ring? Is that what I said?
If you're going to be involved with Lady Gaga, you better be able to afford a 23-carat ring.
Either of those things are going to happen to me. When Brenda and I got married, we did not have when Brenda and I got engaged, we didn't have an engagement ring. You know why? Because we had no money. But we had love. So we decided to get married, and then we had wedding bands, and then years later, we got a ring. But that's not how it goes these days, it seems, Doctor.
No, apparently not. Hey, by the way, how was your trip, John?
It was really good, and without going into any detail here, but thank you for asking. We saw Stonehenge, we saw the baths, the Roman baths in Bath, England. We saw a show in the West End in London, Six. We saw some castles and churches and, you know, ancient things. It was really fun. When a lot of people come back from these trips, they feel ill. They've got a cold or a scratch or COVID, and that happened to some people in our group again. And it just seems to be the norm. Is that a new phenomenon, do you think, or have we always been that way?
We've always had that, John. It's just we're all so sensitive to that. You know, think back decades. People who would travel a lot, they just expected they'd come back with some bug.
Yeah.
It's this traveling, being involved with other people. And by the way, sometimes when people have what they believe are respiratory illnesses, like they think they might have an upper respiratory infection, like a bad cold, sometimes that can just be environmental differences. You know, you spend time in Britain and, you know, they have the climate there and there's certain allergens in the air. And then you come back home, particularly this time of year, and we're into early fall now, as much as I hate to say that. And there's other allergens that are now in the air. And oftentimes people will react to that. And we can understand why they think they picked up a bug while they were away.
Yeah. Our conversation with Dr. Copen is sponsored by Northwestern Medicine. They are relentless in their pursuit of better health care. I suppose, too, if you're just sharing airplanes or crowded hotels or public transportation and obviously the airport, if you wanted to go get a germ, that's where you would get it, right?
Yeah. Or think about, you know, you go to a museum that's crowded. You know, you go to the British Museum and, you know, there's thousands and thousands of people there from all over the world.
Yeah.
It's no surprise that you could pick something up.
It's funny because we're walking around the British Museum and the guide was giving us a little tour. We sort of bought a 2-hour guided tour. So a quick walk through the British Museum. And the guy is showing us all kinds of amazing stuff, including the Rosetta Stone. But everything he was showing us was not from England. And, you know, we're starting to think, shouldn't this stuff be in Egypt or Iran or Iraq or, you know, Israel or wherever this stuff came from? And he sort of brought it up at the end. And he wasn't dodging it. It wasn't the purpose of the tour, but they have a lot of splaining to do over there at the British Museum, Doc.
Listen, the British Museum is a repository of the history of the British Empire, right? That's what you experienced. And boy, that's an interesting subject to wade into, you know, who actually owns all that stuff.
Well, the British do now. And I think there's a little bit of the to the victor belong the spoils attitude about it. And since the stuff, here's, I think, what he sort of landed on, and I don't argue this, it's so well kept, it's free, it's well displayed and explained and respected. I guess it could go back to its country of origin, but Millions of people are looking at it at no cost every year in England. So I'm okay with what's happened so far.
If I could jump in, I was in Greece this spring on the other side of it, and they would like for people to show it, see it for free there.
Say it again.
Well, the people in Greece talk a lot about the fact that a lot of their archives or a lot of their treasures are in the British Museum.
Absolutely, they are.
And they'd like people to go to Greece to see them for free.
Oh, I see. So, right. Yeah, fair enough. Although, it's not like they just stole them yesterday. Boy, that's a pack of rationalization, isn't it? But here's the one thing the guy said, and I'm sure you're very interested in this, Dr. Copen. He said, if we give back the Rosetta Stone, or if we give back the mummy, then we're going to have to give back everything. How do you decide, you know, which of those spoils you keep and which of them you don't? Dr. Copen, your thoughts?
This is one subject I'm glad I don't have to be the decision maker. I know, John, for probably the last 15 years or so, this has been a subject that there's been lawsuits over, a lot of diplomacy about this. It puts the Brits in a difficult position to justify keeping a lot of this stuff when the country of origin wants it back.
Did you see that Brett Favre has announced today that he has Parkinson's?
Yeah, I just saw that. Parkinson's is... For those of you who don't know, it's a degenerative neurologic disease. There's a characteristic tremor, and there's a whole bunch of other degenerative neurological aspects to it. With Favre, the interesting question, John, is it's his Parkinson's disease. Could that potentially have something to do with brain trauma that he experienced as a football player? We know football players take a lot of hits to the head, and we know that people who have history of brain concussion, brain trauma of various kinds are at higher risk of Parkinson's disease.
Well, so does the trauma create Parkinson's, or is it CTE or something else? We all think of Muhammad Ali and all the blows he took.
Right. I remember Dave Duerson, who was a bear who committed suicide. I mean, he's somebody local who likely it had to do with this chronic traumatic encephalopathy. That's what CTE stands for. And that's speaking to a person who gets lots of blows to the head over a prolonged period of time, like Muhammad Ali, like a boxer who obviously is getting hit in the head, or... You know, think about a football player. I mean, we love to watch our NFL games. I was thinking about it yesterday when I was watching some of the Monday night games that, you know, those guys are taking continuous blows to the head, whether they realize it or not.
But do we know, does that create Parkinson's?
No, so it's the traumatic blow to the head repeatedly that causes certain changes to brain cells that then in turn goes on to Parkinson's disease.
So it's fair to maybe say by association that Brett Favre might not have this diagnosis today had he not been a football player.
It's possible. We can't prove that, but that is a possibility. And, you know, Jen, I know that the NFL and the union, the NFL Players Association, are spending a ton of time and money on this subject because, I mean, who wants to see a guy who today is at the height of his physical powers get into his 50s and 60s and wind up with either severe depression, cognitive decline, suicidality? I mean, these are all aspects of this CTE disease that can occur to football players.
JAMA Neurology says today that 1 in 3 former NFL players believe they have CTE. 1 in 3. 1 in 3. How about that? So
yeah, you know, it's self-reported. We don't know for sure, but right. I mean, there's this no question, and it's not controversial anymore, that repeated blows to the head is bad for a person. And by the way, that's not just boxing and football.
Soccer.
We know that soccer players, believe it or not, can have this problem.
And it's
taking that soccer ball off your head repeatedly, that can't be good for you over a long period of time.
And it's cumulative, right? So it's if you don't just get over that, the brain sort of remembers the trauma, if you will.
That's right. Exactly. Exactly. You know, the Dolphins, the Miami Dolphins quarterback, Tua, he's had multiple concussions that has actually taken him out of the game. And what's going to happen with him? You know, right now, there are certain people who are actually suggesting that he retire at this at a young age before he does an irreversible
damage. If I were in his family, that last hit he took that last game, I would just, sorry, take the money, whatever's left on the table, and go play pickleball. It is over. It is over if I were advising him. A couple more minutes with Dr. Jeffrey Copen. Doc, can you answer a couple of questions from us?
Happily.
Or for or from our listeners, rather. Hey, Dr. Copen, I was exposed to people who had COVID and a cold. Days later, I became ill. My COVID test was inconclusive, and I got no more home tests. But I might have COVID. Should I hold off on getting the vaccine?
Yeah, it it would make sense to hold off. In the event you do indeed have COVID, but this might just be a regular cold. So see how you feel. If you quickly get better, hopefully it wasn't COVID at all. So I wouldn't put off the COVID vaccine indefinitely. Maybe give yourself, you know, 6 to 8 weeks and then go ahead and get it.
If you've got COVID or a cold, it sounds like the protocol is the same anyway. When you're asymptomatic, go out and be careful, right?
That's right. Exactly. With the recommendation no longer is stay home for a week or 10 days. Once you're fever-free and you're feeling better, it's okay to go out.
By the way, the nasal flu vaccine is approved for at-home use now. What do I need to know about that?
Yeah, so this is marketed under the name FluMist. It's been around a long time, John. I personally find it rather humorous. You know, people don't like needles. But I would say, unless you're totally needle phobic, I've never been a big FluMist fan because you have to shove this thing far up your nose. And I don't know that that's better than the little prick from a needle.
But, I agree.
You know, but there's people who just hate needles. So this is a flu vaccine. It works. And if the choice is no flu vaccine or FluMist, go ahead and get it.
Yeah.
FDA just said that people will be able to give this to themselves starting next year, not this flu season. So, John, before we get into next flu season, I think we'll be talking about this.
Yeah.
Because it will be a very real option for people to actually order the FluMist online and get it delivered to home, and they can actually do it at home, so you wouldn't have to go to a doctor's office or a pharmacy.
Yeah, I guess that's a real selling point. Y'all do what works for you. I did the home test kit the other day, and I swished that thing around my nose a bunch of times, and I forgot how unpleasant that was. Give me a shot, for crying out loud. But
I'm with you. I much prefer to get a little needle in the arm and be done than shove that thing up my nose.
Nice to talk to you, Dr. Copen.
Yeah, you too. And Mr. Williams, it's not every week we talk about shoving things up our nose like that.
I'm just glad that sentence ends with the word nose. And on that, I'm going to leave you, sir.
All right. Well, we'll see you next week, I hope. Everybody take care.
Dr. Jeffrey Copen from Northwestern Medicine's Lake Forest Hospital.